In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On the same day, September 1st, the life of our holy God-bearing monastic father, Simeon the Stylite. There once lived in Sassanus, a village of the province of Cilicia, two Christians, Chrysostom and Martha. God granted this pious couple to bear blessed fruit, Simeon, a holy monk. Cleansed in the waters of baptism according to Christian custom, this child was not reared in the study of books, but in simplicity and guilelessness. In this boy dwelt the spirit of the wisdom of God, who customarily makes his abode in the simple, that he might make wise the unlearned and put to shame the wisdom of this age. Simeon, who was to become the pastor of rational sheep, began to shepherd the irrational sheep of his father when he was 13 years old. Thus, like Jacob, Moses, and David, he passed from the pasturing of sheep to divine revelation. Once during the winter, the blessed youth, free from his duty since the sheep could not be put out because of the abundance of snow, went to church with his parents on a Sunday. There he hearkened attentively to the chanting and reading, as he later told the blessed Theodoretus. When he heard the reading from the Holy Gospel, in which the poor, they that mourn, the meek, and the pure in heart are called blessed, he asked an honorable elder who stood nearby, "What do these words mean?" The elder, instructed by the Spirit of God, expounded upon these words at length, indicating to Simeon the path to poverty of spirit, chastity, the love of God, and all things that lead to the perfection of a virtuous life. The good seed did not fall on infertile ground, and there soon sprang up in Simeon a fervent yearning for God. There also grew in him an unwavering desire to follow the narrow path that leads to God. He therefore resolved in his mind to quickly renounce all things and pursue his desire. Bowing down before that honorable elder, he thanked him for his profitable discourse, saying, "You are father and mother to me, an instructor in good works and a guide to my salvation." At once Simeon departed without returning home and came to a place far away that was suitable for prayer. Finding himself alone there, he fell down on the ground and stretched out his arms in the form of a cross, beseeching God with tears to show him the path to salvation. Simeon fell asleep, and having lain prostrate for a long time in prayer, he saw the following vision. He dreamed that he was digging the foundation of a building, hearing a voice saying, "Dig deeper." He dug deeper. When he ceased his labor, thinking that it sufficed, he heard again a voice commanding him to dig deeper. Once more he began to dig. When he concluded his labor, he again heard a voice urging him, yet a third time, to continue the same work. The voice finally said, "Enough, it is sufficient. Now if you desire to build, build earnestly, for without labor you will succeed in nothing." This vision was fulfilled in Simeon, as much as he laid the foundation of his own perfection and that of others, for his virtues were seen to surpass the bounds of human nature. After this vision, Simeon arose and went to a monastery, the abbot of which was the blessed Timothy. He fell down and lay before the gates of the monastery for 7 days without food and drink. The abbot went out on the 8th day and asked Simeon where he was from, where he was going, and what his name was, and whether he had committed some evil and was fleeing the hand of his master. Simeon fell at the abbot's feet and said, "Father, I have not done evil before men, but I desire rather to labor fervently for God. Forgive me, who am a sinner, and permit me to enter the monastery and serve all who dwell here." Perceiving that Simeon had received a calling from God, the abbot took him by the hand, led him into the monastery, and said to the brethren, "Teach him the customs and rules of monasticism and the monastic typikon." After his acceptance into the monastery, Simeon served the entire brotherhood, submitting himself to all. He committed the entire Psalter to memory in a very short time. Although he was tonsured in his 18th year, he was already a tried monk, for in a short time he attained such stature through the strictness of his life that he surpassed all those who labored there in monasticism. Some of the brethren ate once each day in the evening, while others ate on the 3rd day, but Simeon remained the entire week without food. Simeon's parents searched everywhere for him for two 2 whole years, being unable to find him because he was hidden from them by God. They wept much, and his father died from sorrow. Simeon, however, having found a father in God, surrendered himself to the Lord from his youth. While Simeon was living in that Lavra, he went once to the well to draw water, taking from the bucket the very rough rope woven from palm branches that was tied to it. He tightly bound his entire body from his thighs to his neck with it so that the rope cut into his flesh. After 10 days, his flesh began to fester from the wounds inflicted by the rope that had dug down to his bones, and his flesh emitted a great stench and swarmed with worms. The brethren said to the abbot, "From where did you bring this man to us? We can bear him no longer because of the stench that comes from him. When he walks, maggots fall from him, and his bed is full of worms." The abbot was amazed when he heard this. Finding the matter to be as they had told him, he asked the saint, "Tell me, child, where does this stench come from?" Simeon, standing in silence, did not answer him. Angrily, the abbot ordered that Simeon's garment be removed by force, and it was seen that the saint's hair shirt was bloodied, and that the rope had dug deeply into his body. When the abbot saw this, he was amazed, as were all present. Only with a great effort were they able to remove the rope from Simeon, tearing out rotting flesh in the process. The saint, however, bore this ordeal bravely, saying, "Cast me out like a stinking dog, for I am unworthy because of my sins." The abbot said, "You are scarcely 18 years old. What can your sins be?" Simeon answered, "Father, the prophet said, 'I was conceived in iniquities, and in sins did my mother bear me.'" Hearing this, the abbot marveled at his understanding, and was amazed at how this simple youth had arrived at such fear of God. Nevertheless, he rebuked Simeon, instructing him not to inflict upon himself such sufferings, saying, "It is not profitable to begin that which is beyond one's strength. It is sufficient for the disciple to be as his teacher." Simeon's wounds healed only after many days. However, when they were healed, the abbot and the brethren saw that Simeon was afflicting his body again as he did before. The brethren therefore commanded him to leave the monastery, lest one of the weaker brethren should desire to imitate the saint, and lest Simeon should thereby be guilty of his brother's death. Simeon departed and began to wander through deserts and mountains, finally finding a dry well inhabited by creeping things and unclean spirits. He cast himself into it, praying to God. After some time, the abbot saw one night in a vision a great multitude of people with weapons and torches who surrounded the monastery, demanding, "Where is the servant of God, Simeon? Show him to us, for he is beloved of God and the angels. If you do not, we will burn you up together with the monastery, for he is greater than you, and God shall work many miracles through him upon the earth." When he awoke from sleep, the abbot informed the brethren of this fearful dream, for he was much disquieted because of Simeon. He sent people everywhere in search of him, and did not spare even himself. Taking certain of the brethren, he traversed the desert, searching in caves for the saint. Upon finding shepherds pasturing their sheep, the abbot questioned them, and learned that there was a dry well in the area. The abbot and the brethren with him hastened to the place. When they came to the well, they stood over it and cried out, saying, "Are you there, servant of God?" Simeon answered, "Leave me, holy fathers, for a little while, so that I may give up my spirit, for my spirit has grown faint since I have angered God." Unwilling to consent to let him be, they drew Simeon up out of the well and brought him to the monastery where he had once lived together with them. But Simeon again left secretly and began to wander in the mountains and in the desert. Guided by the Spirit of God, he came to a mountain that was close to the town called Telenisa. Finding there a small cell dug out of the rock, he enclosed himself in it for 3 years. Calling to mind Moses and Elijah, who had fasted for 40 days, Simeon resolved to try himself with such a fast. At that time, Bassus, the bishop of that district, arrived at the village of Telenisa, on his circuit of the city and village churches in the area. Hearing of the blessed Simeon, Bassus visited him. Simeon entreated Bassus to seal the door to his cell for 40 days, leaving nothing in his cell to eat. Bassus, however, did not wish to do this, and said to him, "It does not benefit a man to kill himself with excessive fasting. This is not a virtue, but sin." The saint answered, "Leave me, Father, bread and water so that I may eat if it is necessary and strengthen my body somewhat." Basilius did as Simeon asked him, placing bread and water in Simeon's cell and sealing the door with a stone, and then he continued on his way. After 40 days had passed, Basilius returned. He removed the stone seal from the cell, opened the door, and found Simeon lying on the floor as though he were dead. The bread was uneaten, and the water also remained just as it was originally placed, untouched by the great faster. Taking a sponge, Basilius washed and cooled Simeon's lips. When Simeon had come to himself somewhat, Basilius gave him the divine mysteries, and then strengthened him with light food. From that time on, the saint fasted in this manner throughout Great Lent every year, eating and drinking nothing. Instead, he prayed without ceasing, standing for 20 days and sitting for 20. After Simeon had lived in that narrow cave, dug out of the rock for 3 years, he ascended to the summit of the mountain. In order to prevent his departure from there, he took an iron chain, about 30 feet in length, fastening one end to his foot and the other to the cliff. Thus Simeon's eyes were always lifted up to heaven, while his mind beheld him who is above the heavens. The blessed Meletius, pastor of the church of Antioch, having heard of Simeon, came to visit him. Seeing him bound, Meletius said, "A man is able to master himself without fetters, for one can bind oneself to one place by means of the will alone." Upon hearing this, Simeon was edified and removed the chain. He willingly bound himself by means of his will, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, so that he might become a voluntary prisoner of Jesus Christ. As the glory of Saint Simeon spread throughout every land, all men began to flock to him, not only those who lived nearby, but also those who lived far away. For when it was necessary to make a journey of many days in order to see the saint, some brought him their sick. Others asked help for those who lay ill at home. Some were themselves beset by woes and sorrows, and yet others came who were tormented by demons. No one returned with his request unfulfilled. One would receive healing, another consolation, and another edification or some other form of assistance. Each would return to his own home, glorifying God. The saint would instruct whomever he had healed, saying, "Glorify God who has healed you, and do not dare to say that Simeon healed you, so that it does not go worse with you." Various nations, tribes, and peoples flowed to Simeon like a river from all parts. Ishmaelites and Persians, Armenians and Georgians, Spaniards, Britons, Italians, and the inhabitants of the land of Gomer. Thus does God glorify them that glorify him. A great multitude of people gathered around him, all desiring to touch him and receive a blessing from him. Nevertheless, the saint was distressed by the veneration that was shown to him and by the ensuing lack of quiet. As a result of this distress, Simeon devised a strange means by which to be delivered from the uproar of the crowd. He resolved to erect a pillar and to stand on it so that those who came to see him would be unable to touch him. Having erected the pillar with a tiny hut on top about 3 feet in width, Simeon ascended it and lived in fasting and prayer, becoming the first stylite. This pillar that Simeon stood on was about 6 feet high. The people then made him another pillar, 17.5 feet high. Likewise, after a short time, another pillar was erected for him, 32 feet high, and finally one more than 52 feet high in height. Thus the venerable one ascended to the heavenly homeland on his various pillars on as though on a ladder. He endured much on top of these pillars, being drenched by rains, scorched by the sun's rays, and frozen in winter. His food was beans, and his drink was water. The people built 2 stone walls around the pillar for him. Living in this manner, he came to the attention of the holy fathers who lived in the desert. Marveling at Simeon's strange endeavor, they desired to test his spirit, for no one had devised such a way of life up to that time. They sent him messengers, who asked, "Why do you not tread the path followed by the fathers? Have you contrived a new way? Come down from the pillar and emulate the life of the ancient fathers of the desert." The holy fathers told the messengers to forcibly remove Simeon from the pillar if he were disobedient and did not agree to come down. However, If he obeyed and consented to come down, the messengers were to leave him alone and allow him to remain standing on the pillar. For then, they said, we will know if this newly conceived manner of life is from God, when it is shown whether or not he possesses the virtue of obedience, which he indeed did possess. The messengers arrived and informed Simeon of the judgment of the council of the holy fathers of the desert. Simeon immediately put his foot on the ladder, intending to come down. But the messengers cried out, O holy father, do not descend, but continue as you have begun. Now we know that your undertaking is from God. Who shall be your helper until the end? The patriarch of Antioch, Domnus, who succeeded St. Miletius, also came to visit Simeon. Observing Simeon's manner of life, Domnus was amazed, and he conversed at length with him concerning what is profitable to the soul. Domnus also served the liturgy, and they both received the divine mysteries. The patriarch then returned to Antioch, but the saint struggled even more, arming himself against the invisible enemy. Then the devil, who is always envious of good, transformed himself into an angel of light and appeared to the saint near the column, together with a chariot of fire and fiery steeds, as though he had descended from heaven. He said, Simeon, the God of heaven and earth has sent me to you, as you can see, with a chariot and horses, so that I might take you to heaven like Elijah. You are worthy to receive such honor because of the holiness of your life. The hour has already arrived in which you shall eat the fruit of your labor and receive a magnificent crown from the hand of the Lord. Therefore make haste, servant of the Lord, that you may see your Creator and worship him, who has made you according to his own image, and so that the angels and archangels, who together with the prophets, apostles, and martyrs desire to see you, may do so. The demon said many other things. Not perceiving the adversary's deceit, the saint prayed, O Lord, dost thou desire to take me, a sinner, up into heaven? Simeon then put his right foot forward in order to step onto the fiery chariot, and at the same time he also stretched out his right hand, signing himself with the sign of the cross. Immediately the devil with his chariot and horses vanished like dust scattered by the wind. Having discerned that the apparition was a demonic deception, Simeon discerned that the apparition Simeon repented and chastened the foot with which he intended to step onto the demonic chariot. Standing on that one foot alone for an entire year, the devil, unable to bear this rebuke, smote Simeon's foot with a grievous wound. The flesh on his foot festered. Worms multiplied on it, and pus full of maggots flowed down the column to the ground. A youth named Anthony, who saw and wrote concerning this occurrence, carried the maggots up the pillar to the good passion bearer again. Like a second Job, Simeon pressed the maggots back into his wound, saying, Eat what the Lord has given you. At that time, Basiliscus, prince of the Saracens, having heard much about Saint Simeon, came and conversed with him, thus received much profit. Seeing a worm fall to the ground from the saint's wound, Basiliscus took it into his hand and departed. Simeon sent for him and asked, Why have you taken a stinking worm, fallen from my rotten flesh, into your venerable hands? Basiliscus, opening his hand, found a pearl of great price, and said, This is no worm, it is a pearl. The saint replied, Be it unto you according to your faith, and the Saracen returned to his own land, having received a blessing. Learning of her son's whereabouts, Simeon's mother, Martha, who had not seen him for many years, came to visit him. She wept a great deal before the door of the enclosure surrounding his pillar, but Simeon did not wish to admit her. He sent word to her, saying, Do not trouble me now, mother, because we shall see one another in the age to come, if we are worthy. However, as she desired all the more to see him, the Blessed One sent word to her, asking that she wait a while in silence. She then lay down before the doors of the enclosure and surrendered her spirit to the Lord. When the saint learned of his mother's repose, he commanded that she be brought before the pillar. Upon seeing her, he wept, and then began to pray for her. Her holy body was seen to stir as he was praying, and a smile appeared on her face. All who beheld the miracle praised God. They buried her at the foot of Simeon's pillar, and he commemorated her twice daily when he said his prayers. The people then replaced the saint's column with another pillar, over 60 feet in height, upon which he stood until his blessed repose. Since there was no water near the place where Simeon lived his wondrous life, and since it could be brought only from far away, the people who came to see the saint were greatly inconvenienced, as were their animals. Seeing the people's distress because of the lack of water, the saint prayed fervently to God, asking that he grant water, as he once did to Israel, which thirsted in the wilderness. At about the 10th hour of the day, the earth suddenly began to quake. The stones on the eastern side of the enclosure were scattered, and a cave appeared in which was found water in a quantity beyond all expectation. The saint commanded that the place be dug out to a depth of about 11 feet, and water began to pour forth abundantly. Once there was brought to the saint a woman who had swallowed a small serpent in the water she drank one night when she was thirsty. The serpent had grown in her stomach and had become great, and the woman's color had become green as grass. Many physicians had treated her, but they were unable to cure her. When the woman was brought to the Blessed One, he said, "Give her to drink of this water." When she drank the water, the great serpent came out of her and crept up the pillar, only to burst into pieces. Another time, some pilgrims coming from afar to the saint in order to receive the benefit of his prayers turned aside from the way because of the intense heat, so they could rest for a while under the shade of a tree. As they were quietly resting there, they saw a pregnant doe passing by and shouted to her, "By the prayers of Saint Simeon, we command you to stand still." The doe stopped, and a great wonder occurred. She became docile and obedient when she heard the name of the saint. The men then seized and slew her. Having skinned the doe, they cooked the meat. Immediately upon eating, they were chastened by the wrath of God, for they lost their human voices and began to cry out like deer. They ran swiftly to Saint Simeon, bearing with them the deer's pelt, in acknowledgment of their sin, as it were. They were restored to health and once more granted the ability to speak as men, but only after remaining there for 2 years. As a testimony to many of this occurrence, the doe's pelt was hung upon the pillar. Not very far from the column in the mountain where the saint lived, a fearsome serpent had its nest. Due to its presence, even grass would not grow in that place. Once a branch became lodged in its right eye, causing it great pain. The serpent crept up the Blessed One's pillar, and lying very still, bowed its head as though it were humbling itself and beseeching mercy of Saint Simeon. When the saint looked at the serpent, the branch immediately fell from its eye. The serpent remained there 3 days, lying before the door like a sheep, and all came and went without fear and were not harmed in any way by its presence. When its eye was completely healed, the serpent departed to its nest, and all who had beheld this wonder were amazed. There was also a great and ferocious leopard in that country, which destroyed both men and domestic animals. No one dared to pass by its lair, because it had caused much harm to those who lived nearby. The saint was informed of the leopard by those who came to see him. Simeon commanded that earth be taken from his enclosure along with water from the same place, and he directed that the earth be strewn and water sprinkled around the spot where the beast lived. The people obeyed the saint, and after a few days, seeing that the leopard no longer appeared anywhere, they went in search of the beast. They found it lying dead on the earth, which had been taken from the saint's enclosure and scattered round about, and all gave glory to God. However, another beast, one fiercer than the first, a rational beast, appeared in the land, a robber from Antioch named Jonathan. He had murdered many people along the highways, and in their homes falling without warning upon villages in the outskirts of cities and plundering them. No one was able to apprehend or overcome him, for he was powerful and daring. As all Antioch was in a panic, soldiers were dispatched to capture him. Unable to hide from them, Jonathan was forced to flee like a lion from before the face of the multitude that pursued him. Escaping to the godly Simeon's enclosure, he laid hold of the pillar, weeping bitterly as the harlot once did at Christ's feet. The saint came out, called out to Jonathan from his pillar, saying, "Who are you? Where are you from? And why have you come here?" The thief answered, "I am Jonathan, the robber, and I have come to repent of my sins." As he said this, the soldiers sent from Antioch in pursuit of him arrived and cried out to the saints, saying, O Father, surrender our foe, the robber. The beast has already been prepared to consume him. The blessed Simeon answered them, My children, it was not I who brought him here, but God, who, desiring his salvation, directed him here. If you are able to come within the enclosure, seize him. I am unable to bring him out to you, for I fear him who sent him to me. Hearing this, the soldiers did not dare to enter the enclosure, or even to say a word in contradiction. Instead, they returned to Antioch, where they proclaimed all these things. The robber remained beside the pillar for 7 days, prostrate in prayer to God, lamenting and wailing, while all who beheld his repentance and mourning were moved to compunction. After the 7 days had passed, he cried out to the saint, Father, will you not command me to depart? The Holy Father asked, Do you desire to return to your wicked deeds again? Jonathan replied, No, Father, my time has come. Thus, as he was conversing with the saint, Jonathan surrendered his spirit to God. While Simeon's disciples prepared to bury the thief's body before the enclosure, the commander of the soldiers came from Antioch to take the robber, crying out, Grant us, Father, our adversary, who has brought the entire city into an uproar. The saint replied, He who led him to me has come with a multitude of the heavenly hosts and taken him, cleansed by repentance to himself. Therefore, trouble me no more. When the officers heard this and saw that the robber had reposed, they were astonished and glorified God, who desires not the death of the sinner. The commanders returned to the city and proclaimed those things that they had seen and heard. It is not seemly to keep silence concerning how our venerable Father Simeon, standing on the pillar like a candle on a candlestick, was manifested to the world as a light, enlightening the nations darkened by the demonic worship of idols, and instructing them in the light of the knowledge of the true God, for the glory of God's wondrous grace worked in him. While standing in but a single place, he guided many to the faith, as though he had gone throughout the world teaching and preaching. Simeon's virtuous life and the rays of his sweet teaching, shining as it were from the sun, enlightened the surrounding nations. Gregorians, Persians, and Armenians could be seen receiving divine baptism. Troops of Ishmaelites came also, 200 and 300 at a time, and at times in thousands, renouncing with a great voice the delusions inherited from their fathers. They who had worshipped and prostrated themselves before idols from ancient times now shattered their idols before Simeon's pillar and trampled them underfoot. Receiving the law from that tongue which gushed forth honey and which was deemed worthy of the knowledge of divine mysteries, the former idol worshippers returned to their own countries with great joy, having been enlightened in the light of the knowledge of the Holy Gospel. One Philarchus, the leader of a band of Saracens, had a relative who was a paralytic. This Philarchus begged the saint to heal his relative, and the saint commanded that the paralytic be brought before the pillar. Simeon asked Philarchus's relatives, Do you renounce the impiety of your ancestors? The paralytic replied, I do renounce it. Again the saint asked, Do you believe in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit? The paralytic confessed that he believed undoubtedly. The saint then said, Arise, and the youth immediately arose whole, as though he had never had any disease. In order to show the health of Philarchus's relative more plainly, the Blessed One commanded that the former paralytic take Philarchus, who was a corpulent man, upon his shoulders and carry him to his country. He did this, casting Philarchus over his shoulder as though he were a bundle of wheat. All who saw this miracle gave glory to God, who works wonders through his saint. Simeon, having the gift of prophecy, prophesied 2 years beforehand a drought, a famine and a pestilence, followed by a plague of locusts that was to occur 30 days after the other catastrophes. And the things that he foretold came to pass. Once the saint saw in a vision two staves descending from heaven. One fell in the east and the other in the west. He related this vision to those with him, prophesying that the Persians and Scythians would rise up against the empire of the Greeks and Romans. Simeon appealed to God with many tears and unceasing prayer in order that God might turn away his wrath and not allow this punishment to come upon the Christians. He begged the Lord that the Persian army that was preparing for war be restrained by his will. And the Persians did indeed abandon their intention, as civil strife arose among them. The saint was once told that the Emperor Theodosius the Younger had returned to the church, to the Jews, a church that had been taken over by the Christians. Simeon, not fearing the person of the sovereign, sent a letter to the emperor, reproaching him and threatening him with the wrath of God. When the emperor read the letter, he became afraid and ordered that the Christians take the church back into their possession, and the eparch who had advised that the church be given to the Jews be removed from his post. The emperor then sent an envoy to Simeon, beseeching forgiveness and asking that the saint pray to God for him. After the emperor's repose, the godly one admonished by letter for a space of 4 years the Empress Eudokia, the former sovereign's wife who had fallen into the Eutychian heresy. Having lived for 4 years in repentance after her conversion, this blessed lady was deemed worthy to repose in Jerusalem and be buried in the church of the holy proto-martyr Stephen that she had founded. Marcion, who succeeded Theodosius the Younger as emperor of the Greek Empire, frequently visited the venerable Simeon secretly, benefiting greatly from these visits. The empress of the Persians, hearing of the godly Simeon's wondrous holiness, sent messengers to him, asking for a blessing. She received blessed oil from him, which she kept, valuing it as a great gift and preserving it with honor. The queen of the Ishmaelites, who was barren, likewise sent messengers to Simeon, begging his prayers in order that she might become the mother of children. She was soon loosed from her unfruitfulness and bore a son. Taking the child, she set out on the road to the saint. However, hearing that it was impossible for woman to come to the Blessed One, who had not even permitted his own mother to see him, the queen of the Ishmaelites sent her son in the hands of her servants to receive a blessing, saying, "Behold, father, the fruit of your holy prayer, bless this fruit." What can be said concerning Simeon's struggles, which surpass recounting? It is impossible to describe them, for they transcend human strength. "I am amazed," writes Theodoritus, "most of all by his patience, for he remained standing night and day. Once the doors to the enclosure collapsed, and a substantial portion of the outer wall fell down so that all could see him. While the wall and the doors were being replaced, the saint could be observed by all for considerable length of time. A new and astonishing spectacle was then seen. He would stand without moving for a long while, and then he would make prostrations, offering prayers to God. One man who stood near the pillar related how he wished to count the saint's prostrations. Having counted 1,244, he stopped counting, as he became tired and was unable to look up to the summit of the pillar any longer. The saint, however, was not yet wearied from making prostrations. Simeon ate but once a week, and then very little and lightly, making himself lean and fit to make numerous prostrations. A wound appeared on his other leg that would not heal because of his lengthy standing. A great deal of blood flowed from this wound. Nevertheless, not even his wound could keep Simeon from reflecting upon God, for this voluntary martyr bore all things manfully. Simeon was once forced to display his wound as a result of the following circumstance. A priest from Arabia, a good man, inspired by God, came to him and asked, "I adjure you, in the name of the truth himself, who has drawn the human race to himself? Are you a man, or are you a being without a body?" The saint replied, "Why do you question me concerning this?" The priest answered, "I have heard that you neither eat, drink, nor sleep. Without food, drink, and sleep, one cannot live, for these things are necessary to man." The godly one commanded the priest to ascend the column. Simeon touched the priest Simeon permitted the priest to touch and see that festering wound full of maggots. The priest, seeing this and having heard of the exceedingly small quantity of food consumed once a week by the Blessed One, was amazed by the saint's patience and struggles. Despite his great labors, his working of such exceptional miracles, and his virtuous life, Simeon was meek and humble, as though he were the least, the most useless of men. He manifested to all alike a cheerful countenance, and spoke lovingly both to lord and servant, to rich and poor, and to the very least wretch, for he was no respecter of persons. No one could look enough upon his face, calmly with sanctity, nor hear enough of his sweet discourse to be satisfied, for his speech was full of the grace of the Holy Spirit. Possessing the gift of wisdom, Simeon would water the hearts of those who came to him each day with a stream of teaching. Many people, instructed by his discourse, renounced all earthly cares and ascended like birds to that which is above. Some departed to monasteries, others to the desert, while others desired to live near the saint. The order of the saint's daily life was as follows. He stood at prayer throughout the night and on into the day until the ninth hour. After the ninth hour, he instructed those present and listened to all who came to him with their needs and requests. He also healed the sick by means of prayer and mediated men's arguments and disagreements, making peace among them. Simeon then resumed his prayer after the setting of the sun. Although Simeon bore such great burdens, he did not cease to give thought to the peace of the church by helping to destroy the godlessness of the pagans, to trample down the blasphemy of the Jews, and to extinguish the dogmas of heretics. He instructed kings, princes, and those in authority in the fear of God, mercy, and love, through his wise and profitable letters adjuring them to defend the church of God. He instructed all men abundantly in that which profits the soul. Being over 100 years of age, and having lived a wondrous life that seemed to be beyond the limits of human nature, Simeon drew near to his end. He had stood on a pillar for 80 years. As writers of the most unimpeachable credibility testify, having been made perfect in virtue, he had become an earthly angel and a heavenly man. Concerning his blessed repose, his disciple Anthony writes the following. Once on a Friday, we awaited the saint's usual discourse and blessing after the ninth hour, but he did not look down upon us from the column. Likewise, he did not deliver his usual paternal homily to us on Saturday or Sunday. I became alarmed, and upon mounting the pillar, I beheld the Blessed One standing with his head lowered, as if he were in prayer. His hands were crossed over his chest, and I imagined that he was standing silently at prayer. Standing before him, I said, "Bless us, Father, for the people have been sitting here for 3 days and 3 nights waiting for your blessing." However, he did not answer a word. I again said to him, "Father, will you not answer your son, who is sorrowful? Have I grieved you somehow? Stretch forth your hand so I may kiss it." Again there was no answer. I stood before him in doubt for about half an hour, and I thought, "Has he gone to the Lord?" I listened, and there was no breath. There was only a fragrance like that of myrrh emanating from his body. I then understood that he had reposed in the Lord, and I became afraid and wept bitterly. I laid out and set in order his remains, kissing his eyes, beard, lips, and hands, and I said, "To whom dost thou abandon me, Father? Where shall I again hear thy sweet teachings? Where shall I be filled with thine angelic conversation? And what answer shall I give to the people who await thy blessing? What shall I say to the ailing when they come hither begging for healing? And who will not weep upon seeing thy pillar empty, not bearing thee as a beacon? When crowds come from afar to thee and find thee not, shall they not lament? Woe is me! I gaze upon thee now, but tomorrow I shall not find thee, whether I turn to the right or to the left." Weeping over him thus, I fell asleep in my soul's sorrow, and lo, the saint appeared to me radiant as the sun. He said, "I have departed neither from this pillar, nor from this place, nor from this blessed mount. Descend and impart my blessing to the people, for I have reposed as the Lord has willed. However, tell them nothing of my repose, in order to avoid an uproar. Rather, send word to Antioch concerning what has happened to me. Moreover, it is necessary for you to continue to serve in this place. The Lord shall reward you according to your labors. Upon awakening from sleep, trembling, I said, Do not forget me, Father, in thy holy repose. I fell at his holy feet and kissed them, and placing his hand upon my eyes, I said, Bless me, Father. I again wept bitterly. Arising, I wiped away my tears in order that no one would notice anything, and I came down from the pillar, quietly dispatching a trusted brother to Antioch with instructions to inform Patriarch Martyrius of Simeon's repose. Soon the patriarch arrived with three bishops. The Eparch Ardaboras also arrived with his troops, as did a multitude of people, not only from Antioch, but also from all the neighboring cities and villages. Monastics with candles and censers came from their monasteries. A great multitude of Saracens also swiftly assembled, like rivers flowing together, for news of the saints' repose spread immediately as if carried by the wind. The patriarch ascended the pillar together with the bishops. Taking up the relics, they brought them down and laid them before the column. All the people wept, and a multitude of birds, as was seen by all, flew around the column, screeching as if to lament the repose of the world's great luminary. The cry of the crowd could be heard for almost a mile, and the mountains, fields, and trees all seemed to grieve and weep together with the people, as did the sky, which became gloomy, and the clouds, which became dark. I saw an angel, whose face was like lightning, and whose clothes were like snow, appear next to the relics of the saint, and seven elders conversed with him. However, I could not understand what was said, because of the fear and amazement that took hold of me. On the day that the godly Simeon reposed, his disciple and the imitator of his holy life, the venerable Daniel the Stylite, who had recently ascended a column by the mouth of the Black Sea near Constantinople, saw in the direction where the venerable Simeon's pillar stood a multitude of the heavenly hosts. They were ascending upwards from earth into heaven, joyfully carrying in their midst the soul of Saint Simeon. The venerable Daniel was not the only one who saw this vision. The blessed Auxentius, who was in Bithynia and who was summoned from the wilderness to the council of Chalcedon, beheld this vision as well. When Simeon's precious relics had been placed in the coffin prepared for them, the patriarch, desiring to take a few hairs from the saint's beard for a blessing, stretched out his hand. But immediately it withered. The patriarch's hand was healed only after fervent supplication had been made to God and to his servant Simeon. The honorable relics were then taken to Antioch to the chanting of psalms and hymns, and all in the city came out to meet them. A man was there who had been deaf and dumb for 40 years, but when he beheld the saint's body, the bonds which held his hearing and tongue were immediately loosed. He fell before the holy relics and cried, It is good that thou hast come, servant of God, for thy coming has brought me healing. The Antiochians received the saint's body as if it were more precious than gold and silver, and they bore it into the great church. Many miracles and healings occurred at Simeon's grave. Within a few years, a church was built and dedicated to the venerable Simeon the Stylite, and his holy relics were then placed there. The godly Simeon reposed 460 years after the Nativity of Christ. During the reign of the Emperor Leo the Great, who requested that the Antiochians let him take the saint's relics to Constantinople. However, the Antiochians did not wish to be deprived of their intercessor. They said to the emperor's messengers, Our city does not have walls of stone, for parts of them were demolished due to the emperor's wrath, and other portions were destroyed by a great earthquake. Therefore we brought the body of Saint Simeon here, in order that it might be a wall and a rampart for us. The people built a beautiful cruciform church dedicated to the saint in the place where his pillar once stood. A great monastery was also built there. The prophecy that Simeon uttered to his disciple Anthony was fulfilled, in which he stated that Anthony would not abandon the place where he had struggled. Miracles did not cease to occur at the site, and there was no shortage of healings for the sick. Every year, a great star appeared above Simeon's column that would light the entire land on the day of his commemoration. Many historians bear witness concerning the appearance of this star, especially Evagrius the Scholastic, who saw it with his own eyes. Evagrius writes, "I will not keep silence concerning how access to that holy place was denied to women, and how great care was taken in order that a woman's foot not pass through the portal, which even the Blessed One's mother was not allowed to cross. It is said that a woman once dressed herself as a man in order to enter the saint's church unrecognized. As soon as she crossed the portal, she immediately died. Nicephorus writes that if women did come to the church of Saint Simeon, they would stand far off and say their prayers, gazing at the column. None were deprived of the saint's grace. All who came with faith received healing and returned home rejoicing and giving thanks to God, who is one in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to whom be glory and worship now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen." All of the saint's miracles are not collected here, as Anthony the disciple of Saint Simeon explains. "I, the lowly one, did not write down all of his miracles, but only a certain number. No one would be able to record all of his miracles or all of the labors he undertook for God. If the reader desires to learn more about the wonders worked by the saint, he should read the account from the Spiritual Medal concerning the deacon Menas of Raphel, whose eye fell out as he was serving, and the account of the presbyter who was stricken by an evil spirit and received healing from the saint after 9 years. He may also read about another presbyter who bound irrational beasts by the name of the Venerable Simeon. These accounts be found in the prologue under the first day of September. Several authorities do not agree as to the number of years that Simeon stood on the top of the pillar. Some of them have written that it was 47 years. Others write that he stood for only 40 years. Several of those who wrote about the life of Saint Simeon did so before his repose, and themselves reposed before he did. We cannot resolve the question with certainty from the direct testimony of the ancient chroniclers. We can conclude, however, that he stood on the various pillars for 80 years, reckoning on the basis of the number of years in Simeon's life, according to what is written in the book, The Feast of the Soul, in the first homily, concerning the Spirit, for the second Sunday of the fast. According to the Trifoglus of Theo, Simeon lived to the age of 123. He was tonsured into the monastic ranks when he was 18 years of age, and then spent 3 years as a recluse in the cell dug out of a rock near the village of Talanissa. He then ascended the column at the summit of the mount when he was somewhat more than 20 years old. Where then did he spend the remaining years of his life, approximately 100 years, if not on the pillar? On the same day, we commemorate St. Martha, the mother of the Venerable Simeon, Joshua, the son of Nun, the leader of the Israelites for 28 years, who lived 1,442 years before the Nativity of Christ, and the holy 40 martyred virgin nuns. We also commemorate on this day Ammon, the deacon, and the holy martyr Callistus, Evodus, and Hermogen, brothers according to the flesh.